Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Today, we are starting right now the Spiritual Warfare Conference we've been working on for a year with Father Chad Ripperger. We've got Bishop Joseph Strickland, Jesse Romero, Dan Schneider, and Kyle. All of them are there. And this is great. So what I did is I'm pre-recording this because I can't bi-locate, but I'm glad to be here with you today. And we're going to be talking about what the saints' advice is about growing in humility. Yeah, that's a great topic because, you know, it's so easy to get caught up with yourself thinking that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread when we all know we're not, right? So that's what I'm working on today with you, and I think you're going to enjoy it. But also, before we get to the soul food of the day, I just want to mention again that this is an interesting topic. The Eastern, what we call the folks from Egypt, Coptic Christians, they had, the Coptics, they are doing something that I actually agree with. They're actually saying, look, we're going to break off the ecumenical movement with the Catholic Church because of what it said about the blessing of homosexual marriages. And in their mind, there's no ambiguity. It's, you can't bless sin. And I agree with him. So it's really sad that this is going to happen. But that's what's going on in the ecumenical movement. All right. Well, that's the need to know file to pray that we will stop this nonsense that's going on in our church. And I mean nonsense in the sense, this isn't what the church has always taught. Come on, let's get back to basics. All right, let's bring in the gospel of today, John chapter 7, and the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, you know me and also know where I am from. Yet I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. See how we get closer and closer to Good Friday and, you know, Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. We see that these guys can't do anything that God doesn't permit. So it's not like they know that, you know, we can take Jesus now. No, it's not. Now's not the time, even if they tried to. I remember the power of something that just kind of relates to this gospel where man tries to do things and he can't because of goodness. And this is a story about Adolf Hitler. Are you ready? Adolf Hitler was trying to give a speech in front of a lot of people. And nearby, there was a Catholic church where an exorcist was performing a exorcism. And Hitler couldn't speak. He was mute. He couldn't get words out of him. He was too close to, you know, the battle. And remember, Hitler's the one who said, I consecrate my life to Hitler, or to the devil. So you see what happens when goodness is there? So don't worry about anything in life, and this is my point, if God allows someone to cut my head off, okay, I'm in the state of grace, please God. If I'm not, please bring me to the state of grace. But I'm going to live a sacramental life, and that's the worst thing they can do to me, is kill me. So I would just keep that in mind when we talk about the gospel, because the gospel is the good news, and no matter what happens, if we're living in the presence of God, they can't take us away from God. They might kill us, but they can't take us away. So keep that in mind with this gospel. All right, let's bring in the smartest guy. I love this. Bishop Sheen, full Sheen ahead. He said, there are three different ways in which we may judge others. With our passions, our reason, and our faith. Our passions induce us to love those who love us. That's right. Our reason makes us love all people within certain limits. Our faith makes us love everyone, including those who do us harm and who are our enemies. You know, that reminds me of another quote from Fulton Sheen. And I'm going to tell you this. I got this from my daughter. She might be surprised I told her. I shouldn't say it, but she's quiet. She's not as flamboyant as I am. But she has a thing written, and it says this about that topic. He says, the measure of our love is not pleasure it gives, but rather the joy and peace it can purchase. And I love this one from Mother Teresa that she has. I think this is just a killer. Do not forget that true love sets no conditions. It does not calculate or complain, but simply loves. And when I see that, I just think, wow. And then the last one is from Fulton Sheen. I'm just into quotes right now. You will never look into the eye of someone God does not love. Always be kind. I think of the hidden power of kindness. Why do I say that? Because it's true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, why am I all fired up right now? Well, I'm going to be, you know, you're my family, my spiritual family. I just came back from a meeting at the Chancery office in Los Angeles. And, you know, we're trying to pass on all the assets here from our chapel, the homes here, to religious order, the Opus Angelorum. We're asking God to pray, if this is his will, that as we expire, because last time I looked, nobody gets out alive, we can pass on the facility here to an order that's going to continue to proclaim Jesus Christ in season and out. And I think it went well. So I praise God for that. Also, as I said, the Spiritual Warfare Conference is going on right now while we're broadcasting, because I'm doing this broadcast 3 days before the event. Why? I can't bilocate, and Jesse, I'm picking him up after this broadcast at the airport. Things are rolling, and I thank God that I have the energy at my age to keep doing these conferences. I've been doing them for 44 years, from family conferences around the country to spiritual warfare conferences to biblical studies conferences. And I'm just grateful that God gives me the energy. I mean, you guys will laugh at me. You're my family. I just picked up 1,450 bottles of water at a sale at a grocery store. My truck is sitting low. But guess what? All for Jesus through Mary. So I want to thank the listeners who support us. And if you want to see what's going on with the Spiritual Warfare Conference talks, it's not too late for you to go to vmpr.org and just click on registration. Even though it's going on, you'll get a link and you can watch the whole thing. Even if it's halfway through, you can watch it later, because you're going to own the rights to these recordings. And then here's my suggestion. Bring your Bible study group over to watch it once a week. Your rosary group, anybody who will listen, and bring it up as spiritual warfare. We need to know how we can defend our family from the devil. And Father Chad Ripperger, Bishop Joseph Strickland, Jess Romero, Dan, Schneider will be there, and Kyle. They're all great men. They know a lot about this topic. So I'm going to recommend that you go to vmpr.org and click on registration, because then you're going to have these recordings, hey, till the second coming. Because even if you lose it because they're down, your computer crossed, just call us. We'll send another link to you. We want this message to get out. And why? Because the world's in a heap of trouble. The family is in a heap of trouble. Our Catholic Church is in a heap of trouble. Like I said earlier today, in the first segment, I mentioned the breakup of the Coptic Church not wanting to talk to us because they think our morals, that we've thrown in the bucket on homosexuality. Wow. Don't tell me that this is not happening. This is happening right on our watch. So we need to pray and make sacrifices for this. And when we come back, we'll continue here on the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm going to go into a topic on what the saints' advice and practices for growing in humility. Nothing gets done. One saint says, what do you need to do to be a saint? Three things. When I come back, I'll tell you what those three things are. Stay with us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on this wonderful Friday of Lent. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse is down at the Spiritual Warfare Conference. I'm there also, but see what I'm doing? I'm making a show up for you guys so that we get a live show, in a sense that we can give you a good talk, a good chat about the faith. Hey, before I get in what the saints advise about practices for growing in humility, I want to say that a boy to our Bishops Conference, the USCCB president and military archbishop. He condemns the Biden administration's relentless ideological pursuit of abortion, even when it is plainly contrary to law. See, when the bishops do these things, it makes me stand up and say, that I'm way, yeah, good job. See, Archbishop Timothy Broglio slammed the Biden administration for finalizing a rule that allows military facilities to abort babies, even in states where it is illegal. You know what blows me away? Here we are killing our future citizens who might even become soldiers, and we don't have to have the enemy do it. We're doing it ourselves. He says the Department of Veteran Affairs has finalized an internment rule that permits abortion counseling and abortion procedures in VA medical centers throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. See, even when the state says, no, you can't do it, the government of the Washington, D.C., with President Biden is, excuse the expression, hell-bent on killing unborn babies. But Archbishop Bergoglio, who is also the president of the U.S. Conference of Bishops, wrote in a media statement, so he's taking it on the chin. I guarantee you, Biden is not happy about this. He says, the notion that killing an unborn child can somehow be considered a medical or surgical care certainly violates the dignity of the human person and suggests that some lives are more important than others. Well said. The VA, Veterans Administration, will continue to facilitate abortion when the mother's life or health would allegedly be endangered, or in the case of rape or incest, a VA spokesman told the media. Pro-lifers stress, however, that a baby's inherent human dignity and right to life does not come from circumstances, well said, of his or her conception. Medical experts have also confirmed that direct abortion is never medically necessary. Good. He says, I deplore this decision that once more removes the right to life for the defenseless and inflicts untold physical and psychological trauma on mothers, the Archbishop stated. Man, he's going after the administration, calling it, standing up for life, man. On his exit interview, Archbishop, thank you. You'll be glad you did it. The rule has been in place as a temporary measure since 2022. It's part of the President Joe Biden's agenda to push for abortions in all 50 states, including by ignoring clear federal law. See how he wants to just supersede laws for his own, you know, points? For example, the Department of Defense wrote a memo that creates an abortion travel fund despite the clear federal language against the funding of military abortions. See how they just supersede things? The Biden administration is attempting to use a law about requiring basic medical care in emergency situations to mandate the killing of preborn babies. Unbelievable. So this archbishop is going after the administration. He said, along with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, we raise multiple objections to the rule in an interim form, he stated. The Archdiocese and the USCCB particularly observed that the VA secretary exceeded his authority in expanding the definition of medical or surgical care to include abortion, especially because Section 106 of the Veterans Health Care Act specifically limits abortion. In its comments with the final rule, the Department of Veterans Affairs agree that the secretary has absolutely no authority to allow for abortions within the Section 106 of the Veterans Health Care Act. See, they don't care. They just want to kill babies. It's a horrible thing to have to say, but what else? Why are they so bent on this? But this did not stop the Biden administration from pursuing its full support for killing preborn babies. I don't want to even go on further. That just is so sad. Just remember, folks, when we go to the ballot in November, let's not vote for any administration or any politician who's going to try and kill babies up to 9 months. I mean, there's got to be someone out there who says no. I care, but who's going to move the football closer to the foot net for the touchdown or the first down when it comes to protecting the unborn babies? It's sure not President Biden. He's doing just the opposite. Also, I want to just give you another bit before I get into the humility issue. The U.S. bishops, okay, they attend this secretive pro-transgender conference organized by the Heretical New Ways Ministry. Now, just to keep your mind, this is what I'm talking about. It doesn't make any sense. The Catholic Church condemned New Ways Ministry 25 years ago because they weren't in line with the moral teachings of the church. So what's changed? Well, what's changed is who's running the church. It ain't John Paul II the Great or Benedict XVI. It's Pope Francis. And we need to pray because Pope Francis has given the same organization that is putting on this event a letter of support. So, you know, this is just, you know, truth is truth. Truth is true 40 years from now, 40 years ago. And the National Catholic Reporter said that this is to help bishops better understand the experience of transgender folks and to inform their pastoral care. Now, there were reportedly about 40 attendees at the conference. Notably among those present was the heterodox pro-LGBT Bishop John Stowe. Now, I have a friend who was in the seminary in the Franciscans with him, and it didn't look good at all at that time with him. See, any of these people who come to the seminary, there's a letter in 1960 by John the 23rd stating no homosexual can become a Catholic priest. End of story. But unfortunately, we didn't want to hold that line. So I just say pray and make reparation because we're not here to make policy. We're in sales. We're not in management. But we sure can pray for our priests, our bishops, our cardinals, and even the Pope to do the right thing. Last one, everybody. Go to LifeSite News. It's a petition. U.S. bishops must excommunicate President Biden after his shameful pro-abortion State of the Union address. Joe Biden baptized Catholics, scandalized the faithful and the world by using his so-called Catholic faith as a cloak for his murderous abortion activity. So I'm asking our successors of the apostles, our bishops, need to show us that what Joe Biden did, President Biden did, was a disgrace, especially when he had the Holy Rosary and waving his own around it as if he was proof of his orthodoxy. That just is, you know, horrible. It's scandalous. Yeah, I'm going to hold my rosary up and I'm going to kill unborn babies. I'm sorry. The two don't go together. And somebody needs to just let him know, because I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he just needs our prayers to turn him around. Because somebody, and I think the somebody are the liberals in Catholic institutions, even 60 years ago, just like Pelosi told us, it was the nuns who convinced her to be pro-choice. What? What kind of nuns are going to convince you to be pro-choice? That's a problem. So if America send me send a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I will restore Roe versus Wade. That's what the president said. And I just think, again, we need to pray for him and pray that our bishops will decide that, hey, you know, enough's enough. I mean, the funding that the government gives, what, it's 50, 60% of our funding. We got to say, no, the babies are worth more than that. We got to tell our folks to man up, the men, and defend life. And I'm going to say that to our bishops, to say, look, if you don't defend him, who will? And that's a concern I have. And I believe our listeners are also concerned about that, like I am. All right, now, I hope this week when we did the Mother Cabrini movie that you had a chance to go see it, because I think it's a great movie, and we need to support that so that we can get more good movies that uplift people in the faith rather than the ones that are scandalizing people or corrupting people, which are most of them. And I think that this would be a good time, maybe after your spiritual warfare conference on Sunday, that you could go to the movies and watch Mother Cabrini, because I guarantee it, you will be inspired when you learn about her life. She was a fireball. She reminds me of St. Catherine of Siena, who was so bold in proclaiming the faith, even telling the Pope, get back into Rome from Avignon. No, she did it. And I think Mother Cabrini was very bold also for defending the people who are being treated unjustly. I guarantee you, if Mother Cabrini was alive today, she would be defending the life of the unborn, and she would be all over trying to get the right to life together for the unborn. Because if you don't have a right to life, what other right is there? You're dead. So this is why it's fundamental. I know our bishops' conference has said it is the number one topic that we have to do. So we have to defend life at the end of life and at the beginning of life, because we have a culture that says life is not worth living. And we have to say, yes, it is, especially when it's living a Christ-centered life. The country will benefit from that big time. We'll have good family life, which means we'll have good social life, because the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. So keep that in mind when you're voting here on November 5th of this year. Hey, I hear the music. That's bumper music saying, give me a break. We come back. Now we'll get into this humility advice from the saints and much, much more. And I want to thank you again for listening, and we'll come back after a quick break with advice from holy men and women in the Catholic Church. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. This is the day we began the Spiritual Warfare Conference at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Pomona. And if you want to watch it, you can just go to vmpr.org and click on registration for a streaming of it. Even after the event, you can still do that. And then you own those recordings. And then I would encourage you to invite friends over to watch those. Maybe you pray a rosary before the film and show one of the talks each week. And I would also encourage you to go ahead and look at our CatholicRC.org website, where we have special programs on spiritual warfare videos that I think we just did last summer that are just outstanding. All right, let's change gears. Let's get into saints' advice, practices for growing in humility. I'll never forget, I think it was St. Augustine, he said there's three things to live a holy life. He said, first one is humility. Looked up, he said, the second one, humility. And then he said, the third one, humility. And I thought, well, that's pretty good advice. Well, the saints advise these practices for us and for our children. I'm going to give you an 8-point program. It says, number one, think little of yourself. I think that's really important because the world says, oh, it's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And what we say is it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God. He's the most important thing in our life. Number two, do not desire nor seek honors or esteem. You know, I always say this. Sometimes over the 45 years for me, when I was younger in my 20s, the church through my local parish gave me a Pope Pius XII award for my dedication to teaching the young children in catechesis. And it was only like 10 years of doing it. And I thought, man, I don't need this. And no, this is how we appreciate. I don't want people to know what I'm doing. Now here I'm on the radio now. That wasn't my intention. God brought that attention through Jess Romero. Now, so don't just seek for honor. You know, number three, accept with patience the insults and lack of esteem of others. I'll never forget, this was a good story because it helped me in my humility. I put on family conferences around the country. We used to do them in Long Beach in the 1989 and 90s and to the 2000s. And I had a young family, and I'm going to the hotel where we got most of our speakers there and a lot of our people are there. And what happens? I get there, and they don't have my room. And the guy says, I'm sorry, Mr. Barber, there's no room at the inn. I mean, in other words, we don't have you down. So I say, can I talk to a manager? And the manager comes, and I said, look, I said, I just want to tell you, we booked most of your hotel rooms for our family conference, and I really need a room. I've got four little kids. I've got to put them up tonight. So the guy figured out that he would do, he made the extra mile and got us our room. Somehow it was a glitch. And then that night they send me a bunch of food and flowers and apologizing. And I said, you don't need to do that. And they said, well, we found out that you're the guy that's putting on this organization. You didn't tell us that. I said, well, I didn't need to. I'm just like anybody else. You see, I could have been like, stick your chest out. Hey, dude, you got hundreds of people in your hotel room tonight and tomorrow and the next night because of our family conference, and you're going to tell me you don't have room for me? No, I just wouldn't do that. If that wouldn't have been proper. All right, number four, do not exult in the praise of others. In other words, I always say this, you know, any good that I do comes from God, and I thank him for it. I get a lot of people, oh, I hear you on the radio. Oh, it was Scott Hahn's concern cassette tape that brought me back to the faith. While I'm driving over to the studio today, some guy calls me from Ohio and says, man, I've been formed by your cassette tapes from St. Joseph Communications for 30 years. Just wanted to thank you. I said, thank Jesus. See, because he gets the credit. We're just instruments of our Lord's grace. Another one, Remember your sinfulness. Wow. Remember your sinfulness. Yeah. We got to remember that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. And not only that, I'll use a big word that'll explain preternatural gifts. Before the fall of Adam and Eve, did you notice they didn't have to wear clothes and felt no shame? They weren't going to die. That's how God designed it. But when we had the original sin come in, that's a game changer. So we have concupiscence that we have to deal with. That's a big word. It means, you know, our tendency to sin. St. Paul talks about, why do I go that way? No, it's because when we're baptized, we still have the effects of original sin. How do we stay in the grace? By staying in the state of grace, by prayer, reparation, by living in the presence of God. So just remember, we're all sinners. Number six, keep your eyes on your faults, not of others. Great point. I've got a lot of faults. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I think she's making me a saint. You know why? She's praying for me and she's helping me overcome my faults. She knows me better than anyone. And I think we could say that both ways. So if you're married, thank God for your spouse who helps you in overcoming the shortcomings that we all have. Number seven, refrain from speaking about oneself. This is a good point because many times we want to talk about, oh, I did this or I did that. No, one of the things I've found, I was at a parish last week with four Catholic priests. I was given a talk on the university studies every year. I was out at some parish in L.A. And when I had dinner, I asked all the four priests to tell me their story of how they became a Catholic priest. And really, they were like, you really want to know? Yeah. How your walk? My friend who invited me, the pastor, says, that was amazing. I've had dinner with these guys for years. That was the most entertaining dinner I had with them because they got to talk about their relationship with Jesus. And we just didn't do that. Well, it's asking questions and forgetting about yourself. So you don't need to talk about me. Number eight, avoid stubbornness unless the matter deals with the truth. So, in other words, if it's not a game changer, just, okay, say a prayer. I have been at dinner tables where the priest said something that was really crazy and I didn't comment on it because he heard me comment on it at the mission. So why should I bring it up again? No, we're just going to bring a confrontation. So choose your battles. Number nine, avoid all envy. It's part of our pride. You know, people say that all the time. Avoid, you know, you see somebody who's got that job that you wanted and they took it and you go, that's not fair. I should have had that job. I'm better qualified. I look better. I'm all these things. No, avoid the envy. Let's just be glad. Can you say, I'm happy that you got the job. Congratulations. It's just like at a sporting event. If you're really mature and you lose the tennis match or a baseball game, you go over and congratulate the other person. Hey, it was a fair game. You know, you beat us. Congratulations. That's the sign of a mature spiritual person. Number 10, seek and accept advice. Bishop Sheen said this about advice. Go to someone who has suffered to get advice. Don't go to somebody who's just, you know, happy-go-lucky guy, because if he hasn't suffered, his advice will not be good. Because what suffering does is it brings you strength and it gives you great advice to give to others. As Bishop Sheen would say, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. All right, here's another one. Seek and accept corrections. Holy mackerel. I'll give you a story. You guys are my family. What, a week ago I was at a another meeting with our local bishop, two priests. And I made a big mistake. When we went to meet, I said, can we start with a prayer? And I was going to bless myself, you know, because I'm so used to starting things in prayer at the meeting. And the priest stopped me and said, oh, no, the bishop, I was out of line. So I got corrected right there. And man, I thanked the priest. Thank you. It wasn't intentional that I did that. It's just I thought it would be a good idea to pray before we have this meeting. So don't worry about corrections, but you need to be corrected. And I think of Louis Pasteur, the great scientist, when he was on a train, and this is a great story. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell it, but I'll do my best. We'll catch it now. He is on a train, and a university student was there, and he didn't know that this was Louis Pasteur. And he saw Louis praying the rosary on the train. And this university student says to Louis Pasteur, old man, get rid of that rosary. The science has got the answer to life. The Catholic faith has nothing. Get rid of it. So he said, oh, really? Well, do you have some books you want to send me? Yeah, give me your address, your name and address, and I'll send them over to you. And when he put Professor Louis Pasteur, the guy went, you're Louis Pasteur? What? I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were. That's okay. We can have a conversation. You know, this is humility. I mean, he could have really messed that guy up by saying, look, dude, I'm Louis Pasteur. You're just a student. Don't give me any of your baloney. Nope. And then the last one, number 12, make use of the sacrament of confession regularly. What's regularly? Once a month. For me, it's twice a month. I'm a sinner, and I know it. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't gone for Lent, this is almost what, we're two-thirds way through Lent. Let's get it done. Get the confession. When we come back, we'll have more of spirituality after a quick break here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I'm all fired up this Friday during Lent. Jesse is at the Spiritual Warfare Conference with me. And Father Chad Ripperger and Bishop Joseph Strickland and Dan Snyder and Kyle, they're all there. So I did this pre-recorded show on humility by the saints. And I want to just say, if you want to get recordings of all the talks, it's simple. Go to vmpr.org. You can stream it even today, what's going on, by clicking and saying, I want to register for it. And we'll send you a link so you can watch it. Not only watch it the day, it'll be yours for any time you need it. So that's what I'm suggesting you do to do that. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, summarizes humility. He calls it the first degree of humility. Are you ready for this, folks? You're not going to get this most places, but we want to know the doctors of the church. Here's what St. Thomas Aquinas says. The first degree of humility is fear of God. To this is opposed the habit of sinning, which implies contempt of God. Now, the second degree of humility is that a person's love, not his own will, nor take pleasure in satisfying his desires, but model his actions on the saying of the Lord, I have come not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. It is written also, self-will has its punishment, but constraint wins the crown. Let's be honest. Every time we do things our way, it messes up. When we do it God's way, it doesn't. St. Thomas Aquinas summarizes the second degree. He says the second degree of humility is not to delight in filling one's own desires. To this is opposed license, whereby a man delights in doing freely whatever he will. Remember I mentioned the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. The third degree, St. Thomas says, of humility is that a person, for love of God, submits himself to the church in all obedience, imitating the Lord, of whom the apostle says, he became obedient even unto death. Well said. St. Thomas Aquinas summarizes the third degree of humility. Yeah, it's obedience, to which is opposed to rebellious, being rebellion. The fourth degree of humility is that we hold fast to patience with a silent mind when in this obedience he meets with difficulties. Boy, we've had that. And even contradictions. And even any kind of injustice, enduring all without growing weary or running away. For Scripture says, he who preserves to the end, he it is who shall be saved. And again, let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. You know, sometimes we have situations where, you know, injustice happens to all of us, whether it's at work or at home. And how did Jesus Christ deal with an injustice? That's our model. All right, and to show how those who are faithful ought to endure all things, however, contrary for the Lord, the Scripture says, in the person of suffering, for your sake, we are put to death all the day long. We are considered sheep marked for the slaughter. Then secure in their hope for divine recompense, they go on with joy and declare, but in all these trials we conquer through him who has granted us his love. Again, in another place, the Scripture says, you have tested us, O God. You have tried us as silver is tried by fire. You have brought us into this snare. You have laid affliction on our back. And to show that we ought to be under someone's guidance, it goes on to say, you have men set over your heads. You know, this is so beautiful when you think about testing. So many times the world says, oh, it's not fair. We had to do X, Y, and Z. And you go, you know what? I'm a better person because I survived suffering. I survived it by offering it up in union with Jesus Christ to help redeem the world. Now, St. Thomas summarizes the fourth degree to embrace patience by obeying under difficulty and contrary circumstances, to which is opposed deceitful, you know, confessions, whereby a man, being unwilling to be punished for his sins, confesses them deceitfully. You know, this is right from the Summa. This is Thomas Aquinas. It's a little deep, but I think we need to get there. He said the fifth degree, and this is the fifth degree of humility, is that we hide from our confessor none of the evil thoughts that enter our hearts, our sins committed in secret, but that we humbly confess them. The Scriptures urge us to this when it says, reveal your way to the Lord and hope in him. And again, confess to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And the prophet likewise says, my offense I have made known to you, and my iniquities I have not covered up. I said, I will declare against myself in iniquities to the Lord, and you forgave the wickedness of my heart. Remember, forgiveness comes by asking for it. It's not an automatic. Like some people might think, oh, God forgives me. Did you ask? No, but I'm sure he will. No, we don't get mercy without asking forgiveness. St. Thomas Aquinas summarizes the fifth degree of humility is to confess one's sins, which is opposed defense of one's sins. He goes on to all these degrees, and I know we're running out of time, but I think this one that Thomas Aquinas summarizes, the eighth one, is to do nothing but to what one is exhorted by a duty of their vocation. In other words, what is your duty today? Are you a father, a mother? Just do your duty, and God will bless that. So many times people say, oh, I don't want to do X, Y, or Z because of, you know, I just can't do it. And the point of it is when you do your duty, someone who has a duty to wash and clean the bathrooms could be giving more glory to God than the bishops at the Second Vatican Council. That's what Bishop Sheen told me on a book I read. And he told the bishops that because it's what God calls you to do. So what does God call us to do? Live our duty by doing our duties in our state in life. So if you're a father, you go to work. That's praising God. Mom, taking care of the kids. That's praising God. Is it easy? No, I got grandchildren. I know sometimes they can be a bunch of energy that it's tough to keep up with. But you know what? Through God's grace, I can do it. And I think this is what I call the attitude of gratitude. It's welcome just about everywhere. So how do we have that attitude of gratitude? By living in the present moment. If God is with us, who can be against us? Remember I told you, Father Zachariah Boutros, when he witnessed his brother being murdered by Islamic terrorists right in front of him, and his Bible fell to the ground, and he was 14 years old. He picked up the Bible, and the terrorist said, "You want to be next?" And he said, "You can't send me anywhere. God isn't." And I think that's the attitude of the saints, of the fathers of the church. And yes, Bishop Strickland always says this to me, we got to become first century Christians again. And I mean it. What are first century Christians? Those who are willing to lay their life down for their faith. And I think we're back again at that point. And I think that that's where we're going to reach people, because it's easy when we have nice Catholicism, since everybody's just, we're getting along with everybody. We don't care about morals. We just care about getting along with people. Nobody's going to want to come into the church. The church, let's be honest, when you talk about the faith, you've got to be able to see that those who are willing to make sacrifices and not be one with the world, that's what they're looking for. They can get friends at any club by going online. No, but you can't get redemption without Jesus Christ. You can't get the Eucharist without becoming a Catholic. And this is why I say humility of knowing the truths of the faith are so important. One more time, I'm going to mention, because we have a minute and a half, we have the Spiritual Warfare Conference going on as we speak in Pomona, California. Father Chad Ripperger, Bishop Joseph Strickland's there. Jesse Romero's there. I'm there having a great time. We want to invite you to take a look at it by going to vmpr.org. That's virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And just clicking there, and I want to register. You can watch it online, or you also can keep the recordings. And I would really encourage you to share them with your friends and family. You can be touching people, because so many people don't get good catechesis when it comes to spiritual warfare. Well, we have the best. Go to vmpr.org, look on the registration, click it on, and enjoy the conference, because it's been sold out for 6 weeks. And the only way you can watch or you get to it is by watching it online, and then you'll have a recording of that. And I want to thank all the people who have helped us put these conferences on, because they've changed people's lives. Thank you for doing that. If Jesse was here, I would say, Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother? And he would say, state of grace, Terry. And I'd say, you're absolutely right, Jess. How do we do that? Well, it's Friday. Have you been to confession during Lent? Please, get the confession. Yes, you know that a good confession is more powerful than an exorcism? Yep, that's what the exorcists tell us. So, and then, of course, Our Lady of Fatima. He says souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Let's unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Whether you're 4 years old or 104, every action becomes like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. Thank you again for putting Jesus Christ in the center of your life. Life will never be the same. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you and your family.